Good afternoon, Transwest United Prayer. Almighty and Eternal Father, again we enter into Thy presence to worship You in spirit and in truth. It is with full realization that where Thy people are assembled in meditation, Thy brooding Holy Spirit hovers by, is in the inner consciousness of each one of Thy children, catalyzes their faith, makes them receptive to the understanding of Thy Word. We are thankful, our Father, for the eternal nature of Thy Church, true Church existing throughout the length and breadth of the nations of Thy Kingdom, existing in the reaching power of Thy Spirit wheresoever Thy children exist, knowing, our Father, that the structure of the true Church is invisible, but that its occupation in the earth as a living organism is also real. Thankful for the great nations of Thy Kingdom, for Thy household, for our place in relationship to the events of this hour. Praying, our Father, that each one of us shall understand more and more as we see the things that are coming to pass, the blueprint of Thy omniscience and the capacities of prophecy You're giving unto us of the sure word of event. So, our Father, as we perceive these things, as we meditate upon Thy word, grant unto us a full evaluation of these ordained purposes of Thine, of our relationship unto Thee from the ancient yesterdays to the endless tomorrows, causing us to know that when we say, Our Father which art in heaven, that we say it as Thy children. As we commit ourselves in Thy hand to meditate upon these conditions through which we pass, we pray for our nation. We pray that leadership that shall be raised up shall carry out Thy objectives and Thy standards. We continue to pray for the elimination of all forces and powers of darkness that would destroy, knowing that Thou art the Eternal One holding all things in Thy hands with the capacity to balance and to bring forth. So we commit ourselves unto Thee, saying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask it. Amen. Then as we meditate upon the conditions through which we pass as a nation, we cite to you that there is no more important guide and blueprint to understand than the Word of God. Never has there been a period in history where it is more important for us to know its content, to know our relationship to the book we call the Bible and all the sacred writings and scriptures which have emerged out of inspiration and from the mouth of God. We point out to you it is impossible for an individual to understand or find his relationship to the course of events without it. Our great problem today is to select leadership that either will be guided by the Word of God or seek to awaken leadership that it might follow its direction. Our problems in this nation from the standpoint of political courses generally arise from men that are not acquainted with God's purpose or God's plan. In many instances, this is because of ecclesiastical obstruction in this matter. For we have a great number of men today who are ecclesiastically obstructing the truth of God. Their institutions, their hierarchies, and their denominations have so sought to obstruct the truth of God that they have created patterns and design which have no relationship to God's program, God's pattern, God's design, or God's thinking. Because of this, great numbers of people who call themselves Christians do not have and cannot understand the blueprint of God's purpose because of the obstruction of their clergy. They have believed that by their attendance in church Sunday after Sunday that they were being kept abreast of their moral and spiritual responsibilities. They had inherently within them a love of God and a love of what they believed to be God's purposes. Within the structure of their nature, there was the normal desire to get along with people and practically most everybody. At the same time, they were very much blinded to the true dangers and the true problems that affect our society. They did not know what the actual processes of destruction consisted of. In many instances, there are Christians by the very thousand in our nation who think today that powers which are designed by the program of Antichrist are good and embrace these areas of error and believe they're fulfilling Christian responsibility. Therefore, we tell you that there is nothing more important to know today than the important truth of who you are, what you're here for, what God's plan is, because it's all basically a part of the same program. Except you can understand this, you are therefore lost in an area of revelation that becomes closed because of the paths of error that are taken to arrive at an understanding of its content. We are fully aware today that this great nation, which has gone through some unusual events in the last 2 weeks, and of course, as we know, has witnessed the tragic assassination of the President of the United States. In this incident, we discover again that there is a working of measures and there is a working of time. I think that we must recognize that the forces which are engaged in seeking to destroy America. Now make this very clear in your mind. There are powers at work today that wish to destroy all Christian nations. America, as the leader among Christian nations, preeminently one of the most powerful, is a major target. These forces do not always use the areas of warfare that we see as their primary weapon. Even though our enemies possess hydrogen bombs and nuclear missiles of various kinds, even though they threaten us with their range and their power, though today the 5/6 of the world's population are Asiatic and Negroid and are included among the forces that are considering themselves in groups as nations as anti-white. And a part of this force has already been absorbed by anti-Christian pagan communism, which is the political policy of the Antichrist. Now know, therefore, that these forces are engaged in a strategy of first absorbing all the white nations of the world and rendering them no longer able to protect themselves, defend themselves, or carry out their political and social destiny. They are also aware today in all the strategies of the areas of our enemy that the Christian nations of the world, which are the white nations of the world, make up a tremendous power, a creative force, and one they cannot technologically compete with unless they can hamper it, destroy it, or control it. Now, when we are faced with facts such as these, and these things do exist, the individual that becomes a student of these strategies discovers that whereas they may fall back on massive manpower, whereas they may turn to ultimately what they hope will be a struggle of weapons against the land disarmed, that they also have engaged in a continual, cunning, and successful program of seeking to infiltrate Christian nations. To seek, having infiltrated Christian nations, to affect the areas of their thinking, to seek to move into every phase of their life. One of the strategies of our enemies has been to try to change the way we think about our national destiny, our racial destiny, our biblical destiny, by placing in the areas of education instructors who talk down our God, talk down our faith, talk down our nation and our national origin, and educate our children that they are no longer socially adaptable to the present world until they throw out the fundamental foundations of our faith. And this is sad enough when in the areas of our schools we find professors coming in from the areas of higher education on down to lower ranks of education, in which they seek to uproot the whole foundation of the knowledge of the differences that mark our society and its relationship to God, who ordained these differences to exist. We point out that whereas in the areas of higher education there were those that thought that as these forces came in, they'd have no great impact upon the social life of our children in the areas of grammar school and in junior high schools, and junior colleges. But it was not long before these forces, having been deep-rooted in our colleges with exchange professors and communists and socialists and extreme liberals moving to the areas of higher education, when these forces set up the curriculum for the lower schools, until the textbooks in the grade schools and the manipulation, the areas of instruction, were under their administration. We're in the same policy in the education of our teachers. We send them to higher schools of education to prepare them for the job of teaching in the lower grades. And the result is a byproduct of brainwashed, no longer true American from the standpoint of concept was being introduced in every level of our schools. There are in America thousands of dedicated teachers who still love America and still love God. But the pattern of textbook and material and general design is gradually to efface the image of our nation and how it came into existence, to efface the pattern of our faith and make it only one among many faiths and not any more important than any other. Thus it is that we discover that the warfare is a warfare for the mind, as well as it has been a warfare on the many battlefields of the world to overthrow and overcome eventually Christian nations. Now we are engaged in are one of the most unusual events in history. And that is a design, a warfare, to try to stamp out in this greatest of Christian nations the awakened Christian who is concerned about his nation's politics and his nation's destiny. To stamp out his influence and to consign him to ridicule or to question his sanity or to seek to make it appear as though he is antisocial and therefore he is not good for the nation. Now I point out that in a nation where the most important area of awareness should have been a opposition to communism and everything that belongs to the policies of Antichrist. And for years we saw an anti-communist trend building up inside of America. But God has quickened and awakened and spurred this on in the last few years as never before to increase in the consciousness of man this area of danger. Simultaneously, we have watched the policies of our government in the last 3 years continue at a more rapid pace to seek to get along with communism by now equating communism with intelligent and Christian societies and proper government by acquiescence, by appeasement, by coexistence, by peace at any price, all of which are the doctrines of deception of the Antichrist. I think it rather interesting in that within the scope of present design, newspaper editors that are working along with the liberals and upon the left are citing that we have in America a great number of people that are referred to as extreme right-wingers. These people are always suspicious. They're worried about America. They think there's a communist plot in the State Department, a communist plot influencing decisions of the Supreme Court, and a communist plot with its trend involving the members of the cabinet in their decisions, and a plot involving those that are engaged in trying to produce peaceful decisions and trying to sign treaties. And so the editor continues, and I can name one of them in Atlanta, Georgia, Sills, who writes this week, and a great number of others, left-wing liberals. But what they are writing about, therefore, these people who imagine all this are paranoid. They have a strange complex. And they're vitally in need of mental health treatment. And because they don't think the way we left-wingers think. That's the essence of the story. Now, they cite, therefore, that there is no official foundation to this. There is no communist threat, no communist danger. There is no insecurity. There is no infiltration in the armed forces. There's no infiltration of the State Department. No infiltration of the cabinet around the president. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. So the president was shot by a communist. But then that's not so fine. Immediately, having consummated a pattern of history and the awareness is quite complete, the president shot by a communist, so the obvious thing to do is to transfer the blame from the communist to the non-communist, to the enemy of the communist, because that's who the left-winger wants to eradicate. I think that of all the men selected, Mr. Johnson could have made a much better choice and made a very sad choice when he set up a committee to investigate the assassination and put at the head of that committee Earl Warren. I cannot forget the words that he delivered in front of the casket last week. He immediately, in his speech, was already transferring the responsibility to patriots and to Christians and people who recognize that there's a danger in these United States and trying to characterize them all as assassins. I point out to you that this design is a strategy that has been built up until now. We understand that they are going to give subpoenaing powers to this investigative group, and they're going on a harassing witch hunt against the patriots that love America, that know that there is a communist conspiracy, and there is a danger, and there is an Armageddon just ahead. As far as who the assassin is, it's a closed case. There are files of material that not only prove it, the ballistics proved it, the substance of the type and conditions of the things that surrounded it, the rifle, the shells, even photographs of the man shooting the gun. So there's no guess at who did it. In fact, if they want to make an investigation, they better investigate the whole communist chain tied back to the Jew that killed the assassin, the silencing, and check it all the way back to Washington. Never has America faced as grave an hour as this one. And I tell you that I still consider that the areas of ignorance which have been ecclesiastical barriers blocking the truth around men that have moved into high office have been responsible for our trouble. I think there is nothing more important today than for every white man in these United States to know who he is and where he came from and what he's here for, and then to carry out that objective. There is one disappointing area of blankness in the mind of President Johnson. He made a statement in his Thanksgiving speech. Maybe some of you heard that statement, which shows the complete area of darkness in this matter. He said one of the things that is quite obvious, he said, and he's going to see that it's written into law, is a complete end of all discrimination and what he called persecution of individuals based on race or their color or their creed. And he said he's going to see that it is written into law in the United States that there shall be an end of all discrimination. And then in that speech he said, because I want you to know that we are all the children of God, irrespective of our race, our religion, or our background. Now this might seem like a very high-sounding declaration by the President of the United States that will be well-received by Asiatics in Africa and by ignorant white men that have not been properly informed, but there is not one word of truth in it, though I doubt that the President understands that. We are not all the children of God. We are not only the children of God, but the children of God are a specific people. There may be an origin, a pattern, that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. But there have been some mutations down the line that he didn't make. But that being made by God in the process of his creative powers and being the issue of God by the determination of the eternal to have sons and daughters are two different processes. There is one thing that a child of God possesses today. A child of God possesses a spiritual force that works in his inner consciousness. He possesses a spiritual force that works in his celestial mind. It can bring breakthrough into his soul consciousness. It can be stored as ideas and principles in electronic memory around even the channels of his physical brain. But he is a different individual than people who are not the children of God, and his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now there are blinded sons. And some of these blinded sons have attempted to say that everybody else is also a son, want to share their inheritance with everybody else. And there might be within this what you might call a ultimate energy force, in which they want the whole world good, everybody getting everything that is good, and so they want to have everybody think like they feel. If there's any Anglo-Saxon era, it's thinking that everybody thinks like an Anglo-Saxon, but they don't. There are people that are cunning and treacherous who have no capacity to respond to the concept of the Nordic mind. I point out to you that in this attempt, the world order is also trying to impose an area of conformity upon everybody that is conformed to their strategies to the world order. There is nothing more clear in the Word of God than that you are not to conform to the world order and the way the world thinks, because you are a part of a higher echelon, of a higher kingdom that's to occupy this earth for the glory of the Father. So be not conformed to this world. Be ye continually transformed by the renewing of your mind, the bringing back to your consciousness and to your inner awareness of these spiritual forces and spiritual designs of the Most High God. I point out to you, therefore, that in these strategies and in these decisions of the world order, they have been seeking to change the nation, the stature of the nation, the quality of its standards of law and seek to impress upon all people that they must accept patterns which are not according to your heritage. Now there are those that say, Dr. Swift, everybody had better take it very easy now until everything quiets down again. We didn't stir it up, and we're not going to take it easy while it quiets down. We're going to keep right on declaring the truth. Someone said, look out, they'll investigate the church. Well, this will be interesting. I don't think there's any committee in Washington that wants to give a national platform to the truth. You can't make a law concerning an establishment of religion. And you cannot suppress the truth when it is thus saith the Lord. And if you attempt to suppress it, you'll make it the most popular truth in the world, and it is the most popular truth when anybody hears it. Someone said, Dr. Swift, how do you explain the phenomenal growth with which the tape ministry spread, with which people spend the time and the hours listening? I said, do you listen? Yes. Why do you listen? Well, he said, I got the habit. I said, well, just what made you want to listen an hour and 15 minutes to a tape? He said, because I saw things I never saw before, I understood things biblically I never understood before, and it just made a new reason for living. I said, you've answered your own question. People are hungry for truth. You know, there's a beauty about the tape. They don't see us. They don't know us. We can be utterly impersonal in this matter, but it's the truth that they do hear and the truth that reaches them. Not because it funneled through us, because it funneled through God, who would use any instrument if he needed it, and would raise up a dozen more instruments or 1,000 more to carry out his objective. I want you to know, any time they try to crush down the program of God, God will cause 10 more to stand up in his place. I want you to know that one of the great mysteries is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, even in this hour. And we're told in the 19th verse, the first chapter of Ephesians, that this is one of the greatest mysteries, the great, mighty, exceeding greatness of his power to usward. I point out this afternoon that in attempting to build the world order, they are attempting, therefore, to suppress the great cardinal issues of recognizing that the majority of the peoples of the world who are white are Christians. The others either are mentally sick or have a social background in their consciousness concerning spiritual obligations. That Christianity has been stated over and over again in the textbooks of all other races as a white man's religion. Now I'm going to cite to you this afternoon that there isn't any question about the fact that Christianity is a white man's religion, because it is a mighty truth heralded up to and through the white race. And it goes to the ends of the world through their witnessing concerning who God is, against all the pagan philosophies and all the pagan religions and all the pagan gods upon the face of the earth. All the politics of evil and all the tyrannies of Satanism. I tell you then that everything which violates God's law is building up a tremendous force of retribution. That segregation as a racial policy is divinely ordained, biblically taught in the Old Testament, re-supported in the New Testament, and never set aside. This did not mean that we were separated as a people for doing good to the ends of the earth. Always separated the dispersions of our guidance, our wisdom, or our technology. But it did mean we were not willing to socially absorb them in our community life. One of the strangest mysteries of international and world conspiracy is Jewish communal strategy. One of the most vital things for you to learn is Christian communal strategy. And that's not communism, my friends. That's the entity of a culture surviving. God has a strategy and a plan. It's laid out here in this blueprint, what we call the Bible. The most important thing, therefore, is to know who you are. When we read these words, there is a marked division between our race and other peoples, between those who are guided by the intelligence of God, with the capacity to think His thoughts, because they're spirit of His spirit, because they're life of His life. You say, where are these sons of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that doesn't include the Jews, it doesn't include the Asiatics, it doesn't include Africa, it includes the sons of God. I'm going to tell you something. The President of the United States is not going to get laws passed that are going to stick in these United States that suppress the Word of God. Now, I personally believe that the transition from one president to another has been progress. Without an approbation to any of the major speeches that Mr. Johnson has made since. This is a Christian's responsibility, because you are in the days of Armageddon. You are in the hour of the battle of survival. You are in the hour when the church's existence is important. And therefore, you've got to understand your relationships. Everything has taken place. There are certain things that we must understand today, basically. Mr. Johnson is a Texan, and his normal affinity geographically would be with the South. And I'm going to tell you there is more genuine, honest, biblical inner feeling in the South than any other part of the United States. Upon the matter of maintaining the separation of races and preserving by this their culture. There are some things I would point out to you. We're not going to make a critical judgment of a new president, even though we disagree with the areas of his misinformation. He spent a half or 40 hour to 45 minutes talking with Roy Wilkins, the NAACP, which is continuing a promise of racial disorder and the carrying out of a Negro revolution. He promised them that he was going to fulfill and carry out the civil rights objectives of President Kennedy and see that they were written into law. We are told that this is what he said. I'm inclined to disbelieve that this is what he fully intends to bring to pass. You say, why is this? And I'll tell you why. Mr. Meredith the other day was asked what he thought now was going to take place. He said, I think we're all through. He said, I've already talked to a lot of important Southerners and asked what they thought, and they just looked at me and smiled. Already we have watched the tabling of the civil rights issue to next year. That's some progress. I don't even like the word civil rights, because it isn't civil rights. It's the five wrongs against the great Christian white majority in these United States that have to absorb something that God's Word tells them not to absorb, while we make no attempt to push our way into these groups that are attempting this. I point out to you that under the same instance, and this is an important piece of repetition for all that hear this tape message. When the Herald Examiner in Los Angeles published a White House correspondent report from Washington on November 28th, it said that Attorney General Robert Kennedy has called the nucleus of the political machine put together by the late President Kennedy to an informal strategy council in Hyannis Court this weekend. It said this band of men, dubbed the Irish Mafia, are gathering to discuss the future and their course with a new leader of the Kennedy clan succeeding their fallen leader. The Attorney General and the late President's closest aides are faced with a difficult, heart-rending task of deciding whether they're going to go along and stay on with the new administration of President Lyndon Johnson or retire to private life and regroup for a new political cadre. This is the same group of men who met in a gray winter day in 59 to plot the strategy for the presidential campaign of JFK. Their loyalty and love is for the late president personally, but they have no loyalty for the institution of the presidency. Hear this now. Who's this? Well, it's a group they call the Irish Mafia. I wasn't aware that they had that designation in Washington. If you say, why do you say that designation in Washington? Because this is December 2nd, United States News, and I turn to page 20, and it says, the White House itself will face a sweeping change. The group known as the Irish Mafia will be replaced. Mr. Johnson will have his own aide. Fletcher will go, Sorensen will go, Heller will go, a great number of the extreme liberals will go. Their strong liberal viewpoint is not that of the President of the United States. The president does not talk their language or think in their terms. Well, that's the best news I've heard in a long time. But he has been muttering their language a little. And that may be necessary until he makes this sweeping change. And intelligent Christians ought to advise him to make the change. I point this out because in this prospective change there is hope. In the Los Angeles Times, in its opinion pages and in its review of the political factors of this day, it comes out to say that Bobby Kennedy hates Lyndon Johnson. They better watch him. They better give him a little mental health. These haters are liable to do something, they say. Who wants to be President of the United States and have the Attorney General hate you? You say, where'd you get that? Today's Los Angeles Times. Look at it for yourself. Cut it out. Save it. We have. You don't have to worry what we say from this pulpit. We've already got a file on it. I point out to you this afternoon that in this instance, then, it is my opinion that by the time that we have new members in the cabinet by next year, Senator Russell continues his close contact with President Johnson, that by the time they get through modifying down and defining how far they're going to permit interference to go in state rights or in areas that are not defined in the Constitution, that you're going to discover that these areas of forced integration into homes and lives and property of men are going to be considered and set aside as unconstitutional. If America possesses any right, if men have property rights, they surely should be able to decide who is going to occupy their property while they own it, or what services they are going to render. What could be considered more slavery or forced servitude than for individuals to have to render their services or their professional talents to anybody or any group of people in these United States? And if there exist these high capacities of equality and high intelligence, let them provide, therefore, these services for themselves. I'm sure we will never draw upon their reservoir of doctors, scientists, and technicians to give us assistance. Within this category, this is Christian and this is biblical. We would seek to increase their technology and increase their understanding, but the capacities of absorption must be tied with the casting aside of superstition and the reverent respect of a proper God. I am aware of the limited capacities of many races and people to understand the great values of spiritual truth while they have the opposition forces in their midst eliminating their capacities to absorb. Witch doctors, communist bosses, Buddhist priests and Kali temples do not help, my friends, to set up an environment for the recognition of Christianity. Let me for one moment turn back again to this piece in the Herald Examiner, which is a first service from Washington that they are reporting on. They said that this group of men who have no loyalty to this present president would find it difficult to adjust themselves to this outsider. That's a better promotion mark for Mr. Johnson than anything I can think of this afternoon. And I can tell you something rather strange. This bunch called the Irish Mafia gathering together today in Hyannis Park have a bunch of Irishmen that are no more Irish, my friends, than Jakey Rubenstein. Someone said, "My, but we still are shocked by the events. One of the greatest areas of emotional warfare has been this vast casket tableau that America watched all day long and watched for 2 or 3 days before. There's something awfully strange about it, and I was interested in another newspaper comment today out of the Times. It said we are studying the effect of the assassination upon the stock market. It was an amazing thing, the effect of the assassination on the stock market. The market went down 24 hours earlier, 24 points. How in the world did the market go down unless manipulators inside had some premonition or knowledge?" It was the more acute group of financial manipulators that closed the market before it could go down any farther. And when the new administration came in under President Johnson, the areas of business showed a rather healthy respect that it would come under proper balance and went back up. I want to point out to you that within the scope of these events, intellectuals with a strong liberal viewpoint will go because the president doesn't talk their language either. I'd like to hear that said about everybody taking over in education, in areas of American supervision or sponsorship. They don't talk these extreme liberal language, and they're all going to have to go. All this week, they have been attempting to use these tragic events to premise a whole group of legislations in the House, in the Senate, and in the various states to deprive all of the citizens of America of their right to have, own, and bear arms. They've made that a byproduct of it, as though it was one of the major objectives of the elimination of the president to have an excuse to do this. And in this design, they classify, apparently, that the only ones that should be permitted any authority or any arms in this matter are the inns. Everybody else is mentally unsound and should be deprived of the right to be armed. And then from there on, we'd have a funny shuffle. Every time we elected a new administration, we threw out the old one, and the new side would arm and disarm the others. One frantic senator said, "It is obvious that if all America was disarmed, nobody would have been able to have assassinated the president." But I just listened to a newscast in the same 15 minutes that told me that Castro's Cuba dumped 3 tons of arms on the beaches of Venezuela for communists. So I'm sure a communist would have found an arm without any on the inside. This is as fallacious an argument as suddenly ending the automobile industry because more people are killed in America by automobiles than by anything else. I point out to you that all of these are a part of the inroads of a strategy. It ties into the program of basic disarmament for the individual, national disarmament for the nations, surrender into the hands of the United Nations. President Johnson spoke in error on Thanksgiving Day when he said, "I am determined that we shall continue to support the United Nations and all of its agencies and all of its commissions." In this matter, then, he is just as wrong as everybody else that supports the program of the Antichrist instead of supporting the Declaration of Independence. I want to bring clearly to your thinking another line of what to me is a rather interesting pattern of interpretation. This is this week's editorial page by David Lawrence. We have in our files editorial page after editorial page in which David Lawrence was disturbed about the trend to internationalism, the program of disarmament, the creating of executive orders by the President of the United States, the transition into what he referred to as a virtual dictatorship. Now I want to read to you the strange type of maudlin emotional upheaval that followed last Friday week. Mr. Kennedy manifested, in other words, the spirit of meditation and a desire to attain out of every controversy the maximum good for the public. He adopted again and again the maxim that half a loaf is better than none. And in world affairs, he exhibited a rare quality of patience and restraint. Whatever setbacks his administration may have encountered around the world, the fact remains that he tried his utmost to preserve the peace for his country while maintaining the maximum military strength necessary to deter an enemy. It's hard to believe that our president is dead at 46. It's hard to believe that a man who thought so earnestly to serve his country should be cut down in the prime of life. And this is a diametric opposite to editorial after editorial written by this man up until a week ago last Friday. Apparently a strange hypnotic phenomena is that when you die, you suddenly become the acme of everything that you were not beforehand. Now, we're not opposed to everybody because they work for some branch of the government. We're not opposed to the two FBI men that are here this afternoon. As long as they love the Constitution and love America. I point out this to you this afternoon, that we have those already in areas of responsibility and in law enforcement dedicated to the creation of a world socialist state. This, in my Bible, is the program of the Antichrist and clearly defined as a program of world government infringing on the sovereignty of God's people, and God has said, "Come out of her, my people, come out of her." And we're going to preach it and we're going to oppose it until we do. Don't all look around. You couldn't find them. I just happen to know them. When they get through, they go over to the Roseville Hotel. It's where some of them are staying. Closer. I do not trust any ogfool that harasses Christian patriots who are not assassins and not blackguards, but love America and stand for truth. I point out then that in this strategy, the pressures, the emotions, people cast aside months of good judgment. God said, "Come now, let us reason together." He calls you to stand against the darkness. He challenges you as his sons and daughters to occupy your inheritance. He talks about his weaving offspring possessing the kingdom. And I challenge you this afternoon to know that there is nothing more important for you to understand than that you, as the children of God, have a divine commission in the earth, that the kingdom of God has a responsible commission to fulfill, and that you are that people by inheritance, that you are the children of God. You are not responsible. You cannot and must not absorb all peoples under a world order era into a process they have no capacity to fulfill, which will be most destructive to progress. It is an interesting thing that in the midst of all the problem, we continue to hear that all the violence and all the crime, all the trouble is coming from white Christian Americans that will not permit this change to take place, because this change, my friends, is against the law of God. I hold up Herald Examiner for last Friday. Let's take a look at this. Rack Packers on the rampage. Gang of boys beat man as the girls scream killing. 27 members of a savage rap pack jailed early today after they alleged beat and stomped a 27-year-old San Pedro man. While the male members of the gang executed the cowardly act, the female champions stood clapping and chanting, "Killing, killing." They were all Negroes. The man had been walking with his girlfriend, and they heard what sounded like a breaking of glass back by his car. He's with his wife. He walked back to his car, and instantly he was set upon by this pack of Negroes while the girls danced around crying, "Kill him, kill him, kill him." This was evenly divided between male and female. In fact, this woman had run for help. This is the only reason why her husband is still alive. We know a great, fine Christian man back in Jacksonville, a marshal in the Superior Court, the man in the community with great respect everywhere. This man was shot by Negroes in a meeting that he was attending with other Christians in this big meeting just 2 weeks ago. They put him in the hospital. They weren't even armed. The white men were in peaceful assembly, and they were suddenly assaulted. What I'm pointing out is that there happens to be, I think, about 17 clippings now over the last 3 days of this type. What I'm pointing out is I don't see armies of white men moving out here and attacking the Negro population. I don't see them oppressing them. I don't see any persecution being directed against these people. I came down that Bakersfield freeway today. I counted no less than some 20 Cadillacs going by filled with Negroes. If they're oppressed, it's because they have to drive their own car. The fact they're driving Cadillacs doesn't bother me at all. I could care less. I want you to know I don't want them in my car. I believe literally and emphatically that God's call for segregation was for the preservation of a people. And you were that people. And I recognize that in the magnitude of the atonement, in the majesty of God's embodiment, he identified himself with his household. He identified himself with his kinsmen. The Apostle Paul understood this thoroughly over the second chapter of Hebrews. And Jesus explained it in the 17th chapter of John. And you say, why do you do this? Because they were not like the world. They were different from the world. He says, they're no more like the world than I am. They're not of the world even as I'm not of the world. Don't take them out of it. Keep them in it. Because we've got a strategy here. They're going to take the world for God. They're going to rule it with Christian civilization. And there'll be no greater advance or advantage to the peoples of the earth in that day. Right? Had a newspaper handed me the impact of what was in this ad by a reality company. This reality company, real estate business in Glendale, had this ad in the Glendale newspaper. Wake up, America. It's later than you think. I'm not going to take time to read all this. Just going to read a few points out of it. This God-blessed nation of ours is floundering in the seas of spiritual confusion. It is due to the fact that we've laid aside the chart and the compass, the Bible. The Supreme Court of this greatest nation on earth, created under God, declares that the Lord's Prayer is taboo. That reading of the Bible in public schools is illegal. All reference to God in public schools violates the Constitution, and they need prayer themselves. The Lord said men are always to pray. Where is the spiritual backbone of the Christian leadership of this country? What's happening in America? Shall a child be guilty of violating the law if he bows his head to thank God for his food? Do we blame God with communism or our own government and our own Christian leadership? Where is the voice of the churches in opposition to in this matter of opposition to Bible reading and prayer? Why is there a noticeable silence? Why an acquiescence by the others? How, he said, Christianity is the heart of the Republic, the heartbeat of America, though it seems to be becoming weaker. The commies are wily know this. Communism has openly declared war upon Jesus the Christ, the Bible, and Christian institutions, and all Christian people. Their declaration states that even the last of Christians must be looked upon as their worst enemy. Now, it has never occurred to some people that religion founded education, and now we're secularizing education. In this declaration, we're not going to read all of the long article here, but we're very glad to see this kind of an ad appear in the newspapers. It talks about this, read carefully. A Israel Cohen, a English communist, wrote a book called The Racial Program for the 20th Century. Said we must realize the Communist Party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. We must, by pounding into the consciousness of the dark races that they've been oppressed by the whites, we must mold them into a program for the Communist Party. We must exploit the Negroes and guide the Negroes to rise to prestige while we seek to create their intermarriage with the whites and begin a process that will destroy America. This is our cause. I'm glad that when he quoted the communist, it was the Jew. Then this real estate organization said, no nation can bring forth the fruits of the kingdom unless it is Christian. Talked about the Khrushchev gang, talked about its design. And then here is a very interesting statement. Godless nations preach hate America. Why? Who are we? Can it be that we're God's chosen people? If not, then what nation is this? God promised Abraham that his offspring would have come from many nations, but he wasn't talking about Russia, China, India, or other non-Christian nations. And thus, in this long piece, it ends with this hope that we can thank God that this is a Christian nation. We can be thankful for this. But the great instruction is get the Bible back, get up, and stop being so spineless. And Christians and Christian institutions had better start fighting to preserve our society. This could be very dangerous. He might be subpoenaed to give account for his Christian faith. Because obviously he doesn't believe in pagan equality with Christianity. The most important thing you can know this afternoon is God's will concerning his household in the earth and the building of his kingdom. This is a subject that cannot be finished this quickly, but was tied into this change of events, into the evaluation of the transition and where we are this week. I called upon you and all other Christians that listened to this message to pray that God would save America. Would save America by taking out of the way those that would not bend to his laws and his will. To save us as he saved us in the days when he took us out of Egypt. To send in, if necessary, his own death angel to take out of our society the unfruitful branch that needs pruning. We never directed anyone to participate in anything but prayer and let God make the evaluation. When the prophet of Israel, awakened by his servant and told of the great dangers because of the hosts of the Midianites and the powers of darkness gathered against Israel, he just said, don't worry about it, we'll have our breakfast. They said, but this is a serious thing. You're about to be captured. You're about to be taken. He said, oh, God, open his eyes and let him see. And on all the mountains of Israel, round about with the hosts of heaven, great and mighty armies, And there is a greater power than men understand that confused the minds of our enemies until they fall on one another. From the standpoint of what would be apparent strategy upon the part of Russia, I can't think of anything that would seem quite as silly as to eliminate Mr. Kennedy, because he was giving them everything they wanted as fast as he could get around to it. But there were those whose designs wanted to speed it up. There are those that felt that he was still an obstruction, that felt that he was through. And the strange patterns of destiny, the elimination of this president was by the communists. Though there are some today who say Christians shouldn't battle with prayer. Let me tell you something, maybe the most powerful weapon you have. So this afternoon, we lament the deed, the striking down by an assassin of the President of the United States. But I point out to you that in the knowledge of destiny and of God, what could have been intervened had it so been designed was not done. I tell you that America, at this very moment, if all of the Kennedy Mafia resigns, will be better off. One might understand how the early apostles felt when judgment fell on their areas of oppression. One might understand how Israel looked on as virtually seeming strange developments intervened in the course of destiny, and they continued to survive. And I tell you that in this great nation, the issues are so great that you cannot help but have opposing areas of thought. But there is one standard for Christians, and as long as we're the majority, we better exert it. So we tell you there is no greater truth than you can bring into focus when you say reverently and with understanding, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.